not everybody
is a Christian. I think it's important for us to realize that and to say that out loud. 60 years ago, maybe, when people came back from the war, many went to college for the first time, many bought houses for the first time, many built churches and towns where their new houses were. New subdivisions were opened up across the country, like this section of town where Berkeley comes from, like just south of us. These different areas were opened up, and people were joining churches and members of churches in ways they hadn't before. In ways before the war, it was not as common. It was a peak. Some of those churches are closing, and it feels wrong. Hyde Park United Methodist Church was founded in 1910. Then it closed in 2010. And some people from Hyde Park ended up at Berkeley. Faith UMC, just up the road on South Lamar, was founded in 1951. And just in December, they had their final worship service. It feels wrong for the church that people grew up in to not be there. Some people from Hyde Park and Faith and the other 1,000 Methodist churches that have closed in the last 10 years have found space in other worshiping communities, but some have not. Some have just stopped going to church. As well, some of you may have seen the movie Spotlight or remember about 17 years ago all of the child abuse cover-up in the Boston Archdiocese of the Catholic Church. Now, child abuse and abuse in general is not a Catholic thing. It's a human thing. In every denomination or organization, there is abuse going on. The human heart distorts all situations. This is what we mean by original sin. Not that everybody is bad, but that everybody can turn good things bad through abuse. Through abuse, we can see, you know, I feel like this past week and all the drama of the national politics and the language and the abuse going on, that anybody can turn a good situation bad and can respond in a bad way. There was a pastor in this town who was put into a leave of absence because he used to be on staff at another church where there was a sexual assault. And that is very present in our media today, these levels of abuse and power asymmetries that are causing bad things to happen. The church is not immune. And so with that, I think we should turn Nathanael's questioning of Jesus onto ourselves. Can anything good come out of the church? Can anything good come out of the church? Unfortunately, it's not a dumb question. I wish it were. I wish it were a really stupid question that I could dismiss, but it is not. Many of us, me included, get defensive when someone might challenge that. We could say, look at the great ministries we're doing, look at the work corner, the relationships with schools, look at the lives changed, all of these things. Kairos, the free store, Emmaus, Sunday school, the music ministries. I've never been asked this question directly, but I dread it. It hangs over. I have not been abused by the church, other than through the ordination process, but I know many people who have. In serious ways. I have relatives who have been abused and harmed by churches. For many, the question is unvoiced. Instead, they just live by avoiding religion. They may have this one incident in their past or have seen it, and it's just not worth it. It's not worth it. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of John begins in this strange moment. He has been baptizing people and disciples. He baptizes Andrew and Simon by the seashore. He goes and baptizes Philip. He says to Philip, "Follow me," and he does. Philip then goes and shares the good news. He shares it with his friend Nathanael, which is where the great line comes from. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was a nothing town. When in the book of Judges, where it lists all the towns in the area where the tribes are settling, Nazareth is not listed. In Josephus' history of the Jewish peoples, about 30 years after Jesus' death, Nazareth is not listed. There's archaeological remains of people there going 3,000 years, but nobody felt the need to write anything down about its existence. It is a nothing town. In much the same way, though, because Jesus is from Nazareth, because Joseph is from Nazareth, my instinct is to be defensive. Yes, of course, lots of good things come from Nazareth. This is not what Philip says. Philip calmly says, "Come and see. Come and see." Churches are places with people. And wherever people are, there is sin. There's straying from God's purpose for us. And yet wherever two or three are gathered, there Jesus is with us. The church is a sanctifying community, not a sanctified community. We are not completed. We are not finished. We are on the road to perfection, but we are not perfect yet. Christian perfection is not flawlessness. It is not like bowling 300 in bowling. That is not Christian perfection, nor is it like shooting an 18 in putt-putt, which, you know, is feasible, but is not like that's not the kind of perfection that Scripture speaks of. I think it's the best description is from Charles Wesley in his hymn, "And Can It Be," when he says that Jesus emptied himself of all but love. Christian perfection is emptying ourselves of all of the desires that are not love in our life. All the not love things are gone. Christian perfection is not achieved by this one weird trick or by mimicking the lives of today's top CEOs or athletes. Today's entrepreneurs and athletes have books written about them in the same way they used to write lives of the saints. Books that have these people's, their schedules, their diets, what they do in the morning, how they do. So the idea that, you know, if you buy the things these people buy, if you do the things these people do, you will turn out like them. This continues especially in Silicon Valley. The latest trend in Silicon Valley is called raw water. It's really bizarre. And so it is water that is not pasteurized or treated in any way, selling for $60 a gallon. Water from Maine, which probably has Giardia and other parasites in it, and just selling it because of how these people want to be so separate. They don't want to have the water that other people have, like you and me, that come from a faucet. They need their special water. And then they want to make other people feel like, oh, you know, they want to turn their bodies into these flawless machines. In many ways, the modern view of perfection is the exact opposite of the Christian perfection espoused by John Wesley and Thomas Aquinas and Jesus. Yes, that Jesus also espoused this. He says in Matthew 5, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Modern perfection worships at the temple of the body and productivity, whereas Christian perfection worships at the body of Christ, beaten and bloody. Jesus is incredibly unproductive. His first 30 years of life, he doesn't do anything of note beyond running away from his parents at one point. He doesn't hold a steady job. He walks around a lot. He tells a lot of stories, a lot of stories. Whenever it seems like he's going to do something, he leaves a town and goes to another place. People can't keep him in the same place. Martin Luther talks about the Old Testament as the swaddling clothes in which the baby Jesus lies. I often think that's like the church as well. The church is the swaddling clothes where Jesus is revealed to the world. It is not the only place, but it is the most direct place. Jesus is here. But like those real swaddling clothes with a newborn, there's a lot of gook on it. There's a lot of fluids and blood, and especially if it's in a barn, there'll be hay and dirt and all sorts of things that are clinging to the swaddling clothes that is the church. And as we worship and pray, Jesus is here. For some, the swaddling clothes are too much. They cannot get past the experiences of their past. Can anything good come out of the church? Why do they think they are so special? So goody-goody. They just think they're better than us. When Gandhi visited England as a young man, he went to church and was asked to leave by an usher because of the color of his skin. Gandhi, who learned so much from Leo Tolstoy's presentation of Christianity, who respected Jesus so much, yet was stopped short of what could have been a deeper understanding of faith because of the racism of 1900s England. People have been hurt by the church. We should not be defensive or deny it. Hope is not found in defensiveness or denial. Hope is found in the words of Philip, "Come and see." Come and see. If we claim faith in Jesus Christ, People should be able to see that difference in how we live our lives, how we love and worship and give of ourselves to others, and how we speak of our faith with others. Hope, when the church strays, is found in the times when we do not, when we can show love that can only come from God, when we don't guilt or moralize about what someone should or should not do, but instead say, come and see. Have you seen it? Have you heard the good news? Have you experienced the love of God? Have you experienced mercy? Have you experienced grace? This is only because of God with us. Hope is found when we see Jesus. Doubts drift away when we see Jesus. Nathanael was a cynic on the side of the road. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Until he saw Jesus. And then he was able to say, my Lord, you are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. Have you seen Jesus? Have you been looking for him recently? He is here. Have you been asked in your life, what good can come from the church? Hope is not found in the excuses we may make. Hope is not found in our defensiveness. Hope is found in Jesus, the Lord of heaven and earth, who was and is to come, who is calling us to life with him, who is making all things new. And not just us. Jesus is not just calling us. Remember, the church is not complete. We are not a finished community. We are not a sanctified community. We are a sanctifying community. Our mission is to make new disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. New disciples. Our membership is not full. Are there people in your life who have been hurt by the church in the past? Do not ignore them. Pray for them. Show Jesus in your actions, and when possible, say, come and see. The amazing thing about that phrase, come and see, is it's filled with faith. It's a faithfulness that people will be able to see. When we try to give excuses, to justify, to rationalize, we are not acting out of faith, but of fear that what if they're correct? What if there isn't anything good that comes from the church? But when we say, come and see, we hold faith that God will be revealed, that the God who is revealed to us is still there and still with us. The only way to find hope is to find the one who is hope. The one who is hope. Let us worship him together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.